The rollout of vaccine clearly has boosted hopes of a global economic recovery this year, have supported market sentiment, and ultimately they push risk asset prices higher. But there are difficult times ahead of us.
Welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards. There are many things that can happen within the global financial system that risk disrupting financial stability, and the pandemic is testing most of them. Fabio Natalucci heads the IMF's Global Financial Stability Report, which analyzes trends in the world economy and looks for potential vulnerabilities. The latest report identifies the inequitable distribution of vaccines as one of those vulnerabilities, especially for frontier market economies. Natalucci is Deputy Director of the Monetary and Capital Markets Department. So we talked about this last April and then again in the fall, but the rally that we're seeing currently in the financial markets again has left people scratching their head, given that the local economies are doing so poorly. What is the connection between the financial markets and what's happening on the street?
So the global economic outlook has improved, right? It looks less dire now for a number of reasons. We have seen increased access to vaccines. We've been seeing economies adjusting over time to containment measures, and stronger than expected data in the third quarter of last year. But the surge in COVID-19 infections associated a new containment measure that had been reintroduced since the end of 2020, they had a negative impact on economic activity in many countries. And that points to a possible slowdown in economic activity in the last quarter of 2020. Yet, we've seen that financial markets have shrugged off all this concern. In fact, we have seen small caps, so stock prices of smaller firms, industries such as airlines, hospitality, consumer services, they all rebounded since late 2020, and investors have rotated into sectors that have been hit hard by the pandemic, looking for value. So despite continued huge uncertainties about the economic outlook, investors appear that they remain seems to be confident about growth prospects for 2021, particularly seems to be betting that continued policy support will offset any possible near-term disappointment in terms of growth. So the much-discussed disconnect between financial markets and the economies appear to persist. And market participants seem to point to expectation of very low rates for the foreseeable future, despite what we have seen in U.S. long-end interest rates in the past few weeks. Those have been supportive of risk assets, both equities and credit. And that's where I think you see a disconnect between financial markets and the real economy.
And it's not often that we see the topic of healthcare mentioned in the Global Financial Stability Report. But as vaccines have started to roll out, mostly in the advanced economies of the world, the report sees the uneven distribution of vaccines as a potential risk to financial stability. How does this healthcare issue essentially play into the economic recovery?
Right. So as I said, the rollout of vaccine clearly has boosted hopes of a recovery this year, but the speed of the recovery, that's going to depend importantly on production, distribution of vaccine, and access to this vaccine. That means that there are likely to be divergences between countries and within countries, depending on the number of factors, right? So the severity of the crisis, access to vaccine, the extent to which we have seen disruption in economic activity, particularly for some sectors that have been hit more, cross-country spillovers from country to country, and also space for policy intervention if there is a need for more policy intervention. Now, in an even a global economic recovery due to delayed healthcare, vaccine distribution, that might be a formidable challenge, particularly for emerging markets and frontier economies. In fact, it could have implications for capital flows to emerging market economy, especially if advanced economies were ahead in terms of the business cycle and were in the process of discussing or beginning their policy on policy normalization in terms of monetary policy. Now, portfolio flows are important for emerging markets, because there are large and persistent fiscal deficits in most of emerging and frontier market economies that are likely to persist in 2021. So resumption of portfolio flows is crucial for the stability of many of these countries, and retaining market access is essential. Now, if emerging markets face challenges, that's important. It's relevant also for advanced economies in the sense that an incomplete global economic recovery would have could potentially endanger the global financial system. Emerging markets account for about 65% of global growth, about 40% excluding China over the last couple of years. So delays in tackling the pandemic in those countries may in fact have consequences for the global economy more broadly. And because growth is such an important, crucial ingredient of financial stability, an uneven and partial recovery can put at risk the health of the financial system globally.
And so banks essentially have not been a problem in this crisis thus far. And you mentioned the last time we spoke that this is essentially what separates this from the global financial crisis in 2008. Will they become part of the problem should the recovery lag?
Right, so that is one concern, right? So as you said, banks enter the pandemic with large amount of capital, high liquidity buffers, and they've shown resilience so far. Importantly, policy support, unprecedented policy support, has helped contain risk to the sector, maintain the flow of credit to households and firms. However, we seem to be in a low interest rate environment for a number of years now. There are expectations, at least based on market prices. And so banks will face at this point profitability challenges. And that may call into question banks' ability or willingness to continue to lend in coming quarters. They may become concerned banks about rising credit exposure, about increasing non-performing loans, particularly once some of the fiscal policy support may come to an end. Or, as you said in the question, if the recovery is delayed or incomplete. Banks also may face challenges more broadly in the sense of they may face challenges in generating returns above the cost of equity capital, right? As the net interest margin contained narrows, so the difference essentially between their cost of funding and what they can make in terms of loans, if that spread continues to compress, they may pose profitability challenges for the banking sector. One thing we pay attention, it's underwriting standards. So we have seen that in some countries, banks' underwriting standards for non-financial firms have tightened. And also we have seen the bank loan growth has remained low or slowed in recent months. So we pay close attention to development in the banking sector, as the banking sector is a crucial source of credit, particularly for smaller firms, which are more have been hit pretty hard by the pandemic.
So people who can afford to are choosing to invest money in the markets because they get nothing from keeping their money in the bank, as you mentioned there, with the low interest rates. Are low interest rates perhaps indirectly fueling the rising asset valuations that we're seeing and increasing the risk of a market correction in the near future?
So financial conditions have eased significantly since the March turmoil, right? Obviously reflecting policy support. And we have seen a reversal of the tightening that we saw back in the spring in most countries. And that easing of financial conditions has supported economic growth. We have seen equity pricing rising. We have seen more recently a rotation into sectors that have been hit by the pandemic. We have seen corporate bond spread, both investment grade and high yield, tightening sharply all the way to levels, if not below, that prevailed before the COVID-19 crisis. And interest rates have actually reached record lows. So that makes funding for this corporation cheaper. Also, we've seen emerging markets benefiting from buoyant market sentiment in terms of both sovereign and corporate debt issuance rising to record highs last year. We have seen spread also compressing and portfolio flows rebounding. The question I think that market participants are asking, like, how high can asset price go, risk asset price go from here? Now, some market participants have expressed concern about stretch valuation. So they pointed to misalignments essentially between, for example, in the equity market, between equity prices and valuation that would be implying through the lenses of a bunch of economic models by economic fundamentals, particularly considering that there is still huge uncertainty about the economic outlook. On the other hand, other market participants have pointed to the fact that current market valuation could be justified, reconciled with the fact that we are in a lower for longer interest rate environment. So they essentially pointed to expectation of very low interest rate for the foreseeable future. This is despite the recent rise that we have seen in US interest rates and to upward revision in earnings since the announcement of vaccine, that they see as a justification for the equity market rally. They're also taking comfort from the fact that volatility in equity markets has remained relatively high. So that's a barometer of market sentiment, and they read that as indicating that perhaps markets are not too exuberant. Now, you can make similar consideration in terms of policy support, the role of policy support for credit markets, and the risk associated with credit. So I think in the end, it just boils down to what we call an intended objective of policy easing versus unintended consequences. So clearly, the intended objective is to ease financial condition. policymakers wanted to maintain the flow of credit to households and firms and ease the cost of funding. On the other hand, and this is where the discussion is, whether there are unintended consequences associated with it. And stretched valuation could be one of these unintended consequences.
All right. So what is the most important thing that you think governments can do in the coming months to help maintain financial stability while this crisis plays itself out?
I think there's two components of this. I think on one hand, step number one, obviously, is that they need to continue the policy support. That remains crucial until a sustainable recovery takes hold to prevent the pandemic pose threat to the global financial system. So safeguard the progress made so far and build on the vaccine to return to sustainable growth. So under-delivering on policy support now could, in fact, jeopardize the global recovery. However, policymakers should also be cognizant of the excessive risk-taking and possible market exuberance, right? This is the point about AXA valuation. With the recovery still at the beginning, inflation subdued, monetary policy expected to remain accommodated for years to come. And so there is a sense of complacency that seems to be permeating markets, as investors seem to bet on persistent policy backstop. And that coupled with some sense of uniform market views and raise the risk of a price correction. And so a sudden sharp asset price correction could be particularly pernicious because the tightening of financial condition could in fact interact with financial vulnerabilities, creating knock-on effects on confidence and putting macro-financial stability at risk. And so financial stability has been in check so far, but action is needed to address financial vulnerability that has been exposed by the crisis. And so to close, in some sense, there is an intertemporal trade-off here between providing continuous support until the recovery is sustainable, and on the other hand, addressing financial vulnerabilities that were either evident before the pandemic or they have emerged since then.
Fabio Natalucci, Deputy Director in the Monetary and Capital Markets Department at the IMF. Thanks so much for this update, and I look forward to the next one in a few months' time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You'll find the latest Global Financial Stability Report and other IMF flagship reports at imf.org. Look for other IMF podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe if you like what you're hearing and follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast. Thanks for listening.